Our speaker this morning is Salima Malzin, no stranger to WOOF. Salima has been part of the fellowship since before the turn of the century. Fun to say that. She's worn many hats over the years and has spoken from this lectern several times, using shared poetry. This morning, beginning now with our selected reading, Salima invites us to join her in a conversation about making America human again.
So I've chosen two readings this morning to begin. And they'll be followed then by the special music that's coming via Leonard Cohen. Members in the Commonwealth of God are not bound together by the specifics of their religion. For the nature of our interdependency does not require this. Rather, we are bound by the shared recognition that when one person suffers, all suffer. When we violate one life, all lives are violated. When we pollute the earth, all living things are stained. And when one nation threatens the security of another, it too becomes less secure. When we place the planet in mortal danger, we hazard the future of our children as well as the children of our enemies. These words came from Forrest Church, a longtime Unitarian Universalist who passed away a few years ago. Now, this next reading is from Vincent Harding, a Black activist that many of you may be familiar with. And he said these words in an essay called "Is America Possible?" before he died in 2014. It is precisely in a period of great spiritual and societal hunger like our own that we most need to open minds, hearts, and memories to those times when women and men actually dreamed of new possibilities for our nation, for our world, and for their own lives. It is now that we may be able to convey the stunning idea that dreams, imagination, vision, and hope are actually powerful mechanisms in the creation of new realities, especially when the dreams go beyond speeches and songs to become embodied, to take on flesh in the real, in the hard places. As a first generation, as the child of first generation Americans, and what I consider to be a mixed blessing of being second generation, born to a German father and a Russian mother back in 1939, when that was not a good match. But my parents kept that match going for 64 years. And I have always had a bit of a love-hate relationship with my country. Like Leonard, I love my country. I can't stand the scene much of the time. But now as a mother, a grandmother, great-grandmother, at age 79, I find myself more concerned than ever about the future that I am responsible for leaving to the inheritors. As a proud-to-be-bold Portland Raging Granny, I do get to stand up for what I believe and protest what I believe to be wrong. I don't think we should be staying home getting lost in that hopeless little screen. Joe Biden said it the other day. The only thing that's going to save us is people in the streets. So I am most grateful to be here today and to lead us this morning in a mixed bag of celebration of ourselves as Unitarian Universalists in America during these turbulent times, as we strive, and we do strive, to make America human again. Krista Tippett, the other day in her program On Being, which I know many of you are familiar with, said in relation to the essay by Vincent Harding, here's something we need to remember. Boats full of migrants are boats full of people. Migrant children are children. And she said to the New York Times, this is about you too. From the front page, your words, migrant smuggling, that equals human smuggling. Words make worlds, as the rabbis say. An everyday civilizational spiritual discipline that we can all practice. Some food for thought. So you're not here today really to hear me speak, but rather to share in a conversation, in a conversation that brings special moments for all of us. What I think of as congregational reflection, an opportunity for us to come together, to share together, and as a prompt for that this morning, we're going to have Brad start these baskets out. Now, I'm going to ask you to pull something out of the basket. No looking, no peeking, no returning if you don't like it. The basket is full of statements that are considered, some of them considered quite patriotic, but they're all good food for thought. So if you'll take one, pass it on, I'm hoping that there will be enough for all. Take a look at what you get. Think about it. Think about how you want to comment about it. One thing that I would ask is that when you do choose to read your statement, don't identify the speaker. Don't identify who the quote is from. Let's see if we can guess. In the meantime, while those are being passed, I do want to share some words from an unexpected source, perhaps. Natalie Merchant is the lead singer in 10,000 Maniacs. You probably know her work. She's been around for a while. She says, patriotism asks that we embrace a unified America. Yet, no simple vision of America can accommodate its diversity. Few of us are able to call ourselves native. Most of us trace our family lineages to nations great distances from these shores. With passing generations, we are assimilated, yet our former cultures are never fully relinquished. The heritage we retain and the characteristics of the one we adopt intermingle. We are defining and becoming American. The acceptance of a common historical view may be considered the cornerstone of nationalism, yet when I consider the most broadly accepted view of history, I realize that my America is quite different. In my America, Columbus was not a benevolent explorer who happened upon an earthly paradise that yielded itself bloodlessly to his will. In my America, the native peoples of this continent were not hostile savages, unprovoked to violence against the benign European colonists. In my America, the tobacco experts of the newborn Virginia settlement addicted a world to a powerful drug in order to secure a market and survival. In my America, the capture, torture, and enslavement of a race is unforgivable. In my America, the blood and sweat of millions created an industrial power and fortunes for relatively few. In my America, there is a hope that democracy is not forever destined to be corrupted by wealth influencing power. In my America, women will no longer need to fight to possess themselves. In my America, the basic rights of all its citizens must be respected, and this respect extends beyond borders. And in my America, the burden of world power will be accepted more gracefully, with the people of the United States learning to recognize their brothers and sisters worldwide. There is one tradition in America I am proud to inherit. It is our first freedom and the truest expression of our Americanism, the ability to dissent without fear. It is our right to utter the words, "I disagree." We must feel at liberty to speak these words to our neighbors, our clergy, our educators, our news media, our lawmakers, and above all, to the one among us whom we elect our president. Have you had a chance to look at your...
This quote is so perfect with what you just said. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. John F. Kennedy,
yes. Yes. Without debate and without criticism.
This is kind of like when you go to the Chinese restaurant and you get a fortune cookie, and it really is perfect. This is so perfect for you. I do this real moron thing, and it's called thinking. And apparently I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions.
You want to guess who said that?
It's one of my favorite human beings on planet Earth.
Huh?
What did he say? Yes, George Carlin.
Patriots coming in odd shapes and sizes.
So this one is loyalty to country always. Loyalty to government when it deserves it.
And that was from?
Mark Twain.
Yeah.
This one says, a patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government. Just an observation that goes right along with that. I was going to make this comment at the Q&A afterwards, if there was one.
We're going to have Q&A as we go.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Go for
so
it, George.
So this will be part of that then. Excuse me. Last week, there was a report on NPR about a recent poll that showed that Republicans, by a fairly large margin, are prouder of their country than Democrats are. The pollster and the NPR reporter reporting on this story characterized this as Republicans being more patriotic than Democrats. Remember, this was on NPR. You would think and hope that NPR would have a better idea of what patriotism really means.
And all those Republican senators spending their 4th of July in Russia, what was that about? Patriotism, right?
Yeah. So these few rows didn't get anything, but I have a great quote from the Buddhist group, and I think it's from Rosenberg, who wrote the book Breath by Breath. To be free, we have to look at ways that we are enslaved.
Say it again, would you?
To be free, we have to look at ways we are enslaved.
Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far as by it he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer and the only bounds it ought to know. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech, a thing terrible to traitors. Yes. Benjamin Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him insofar as he efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent that by inefficiency or otherwise he fails in his duty to stand by the country. In either event, it is unpatriotic not to tell the truth, whether about the president or anyone else. Theodore Roosevelt.
I'm reading part of this quote. It's in relation to the Declaration of Independence. If you have listened to suggestions which would take away from its grandeur and mutilate the fair symmetry of its proportions, if you have been inclined to believe that all men are not created equal in those inalienable rights enumerated in our Charter of Liberty, let me entreat you to come back. Return to the fountain whose waters spring close by the blood of the Revolution. Think nothing of me. Take no thought for the political fate of any man whomsoever, but come back to the truths that are in the Declaration of Independence.
And who said that?
Abraham Lincoln,
of course.
If the machine of government is of such a nature that it requires you to be the agent of injustice to another, then I say, break the law.
So that was that?
Henry David Thoreau.
Yeah. Now, as we're going along, if you have thoughts about any of these that you want to share, by all means, please do.
Patriots always talk of dying for their country, but never of killing for their country.
Mm-hmm. Patriots talk about dying for their country, but never about killing for their country.
This should give some strength to the grannies. One has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws.
I don't know that one.
This is from Martin Luther King Jr.
There is no flag large enough to cover the shame of killing innocent people.
Howard Zinn.
This is one that I did not pull from the basket, but it's one that I've thought of quite a bit recently, and I will say who it's attributed to later. I learned not to trust them always, and this is paraphrased, but it went, you can always trust the United States to do what is right after it has exhausted all other options. Winston Churchill.
I got one that's just so perfect for where we are in a nation right now. In the face of impossible odds, people who love this country can change it. Barack Obama.
Somebody said Barack Obama, right?
Thank you.
We live in an age in which the fundamental principles to which we subscribe, liberty, equity, and justice for all, are encountering extraordinary challenges. but it is also an age in which we can join hands with others who hold those principles and face similar challenges. Any guesses? Have you seen her movie lately?
RBG.
Yes. And if you have not seen the RBG movie on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I was astounded at the influence that that woman has had on women's rights, even before she was on the court, and just her whole struggle and her commitment to justice. And if you've not seen it, definitely go see it. We live in an age in which the fundamental principles to which we subscribe, liberty, equity, equality, and justice for all, are encountering extraordinary challenges. But it is also an age in which we can join hands with others who hold those principles and face similar challenges.
She is quite a lady.
That is a fantastic film, documentary. I'm also not reading from the basket. I'm reading from a bumper sticker that said, so I don't know whom to attribute it to, but it says, "Be nice to America, or we will bring democracy to your country."
Promoting active liberty does not mean allowing the majority to run roughshod over minorities. It calls for taking special care that all groups have a chance to fully participate in society and the political process. Nobody. Also, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
And that especially means the others. You know who they are.
The others. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Until we get it that we're all in this together, we're spinning our wheels.
More. Some of you didn't like what you got.
This is, in a way, a plug for another film, Welcome to My Neighborhood, Mr. Rogers, that I think is applicable here. How sad it is that we give up on people who are just like us. I love America more than any other country in the world, and exactly for this reason, and I like this very much, this part, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually.
Do we know who that was?
Someone said it.
James Baldwin, yes.
Here is your country. Cherish these natural wonders. Cherish the natural resources. Cherish the history and romance as a sacred heritage for your children and your children's children. Do not let selfish men or greedy interests skin your country of its beauty, its riches, or its romance.
Well, it wasn't Scott Pruitt.
Teddy Roosevelt.
We take patriotism to mean love of nation and the loyalty that follows. My country, right or wrong. Even as an abstract idea, it is hard to see how thinking people justify blind loyalty. And considered historically, patriotism is plainly dangerous, helping to unleash military rampages in the name of nation and obliterating the essential democratic capacity to assess concrete and particular interests. This is Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven.
Well, the one I got was actually a duplicate and already been done. So, this is a paraphrase. Democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others.
Yeah.
This is something I have to remember every day. Patriotism is not short, frenzied outbursts of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime. Somebody I don't know much about, Adlai Stevenson.
Yeah, he said some really good things, Adlai Stevenson.
A man's country is not a certain area of land, of mountains, rivers, and woods, but it is a principle, and patriotism is loyalty to that principle. George William Curtis.
Dissent is the highest form of patriotism. Period. Howard Zinn.
Howard Zinn has a lot to say on the subject.
I will now read a small novel. The people cannot be all and always well informed. The part which is wrong will be discontented in proportion to the importance of the facts they misconceive. If they remain quiet under such misconceptions, it is lethargy, the forerunner of the death to public liberty. What country before ever existed a century and a half without a rebellion? And what country can preserve its liberties if their rulers are not warned from time to time by their people? Preserve the spirit of resistance. Let them take arms. The remedy is set them right. The remedy is to set them right as to facts, pardon, and pacify them. What signify a few lives lost in a century or two? The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure.
And that was?
Thomas Jefferson.
One more?
I was late, so I did not get a piece of paper, but I would love to share my favorite parts of a song that we mostly don't know these verses of. I have made my own order for America the Beautiful. So these are out of order in terms of how Catherine Lee Bates wrote it. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. O beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears.
Thank you, Felicity. We actually sang that song as our opening hymn this morning. And no, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear the word spoken again.
We ran out of quotes before we got to me, but I have a couple of things to share. You have to act as if it were possible to radically transform the world, and you have to do it all the time. Angela Davis.
Angela Davis.
And I'd like to read the end of Langston Hughes' Let America Be America Again. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be, the land where every man is free. Excuse the archaic language. The land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose, the steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again, America. Oh yes, I say it plain, America never was America to be, to me. And yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America again.
Mm-hmm. Langston Hughes. That is such a wonderful, wonderful poem. And it's, of course, fitting if I'm up here that we're going to have some poems, right? To be expected. But I do want to close with a poem. But before that, I want to read this from Howard Zinn. Because this is where we're headed. It's so easy to despair in dark times. And hope, a little bit of hope, changes everything. Howard Zinn. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst,
it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the courage to act, and at least the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now, as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory. So we are right on time. It's kind of amazing the way that happens sometimes. So before we sing our closing hymn, I would like to share a poem that may be familiar to most of you, A New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with honoring limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient lands, you storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Thank you.
Thank you, Salima.